And I have it on good order that you've been looking at different aspects of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I came to a house group, because Mark and I have been at Doug and Jenny's house group, and we did this one, and it was quite difficult. And then I said to Doug, what am I preaching on? And he said to me, this one. And oh, okay. And my heart dropped. Not because of the words, not because of what Paul says, not because what God reveals about the Holy Spirit, because it is a big passage. You could take any verse you like and make a sermon on it out of that passage. So to cover the whole of the passage is a bit of a daunting task. So forgive me if I do miss some bits out, but God has revealed to me the important bits that he wants me to talk to you this morning. So, we're looking this at the Holy Spirit speaks. And you may be thinking, Sue, well, we know the Holy Spirit speaks because it's there in the Bible. However, do we know when he speaks? Are we listening out for him? And if we are listening, are we doing what he tells us? Three questions for each of us this morning. So, imagine you are walking through a dense forest at night. So if you all close your eyes. Okay, good, so that you can't see me. That's good. And the path is clear. The air is still and every sound seems loud. Every crack, every branch, even the floor that you're walking on seems very, very loud. Suddenly, you hear a gentle voice, calm, steady, and guiding you towards safety. Yet you can't see the spirit. But you know deep down inside you that you can trust this voice. Are you there yet? That is what it's like when the Spirit speaks. It's not always loud. It's very quiet at times. You can open your eyes now. Unless you want to still close your eyes and fall asleep while my sermon's going, and that's fine by you. By me, I do have one at Pinchbeck that regularly falls asleep, so but bless her, she is nearly 90, so I do forgive her. You see, his voice is not loud, but it's always clear. And it's always clear to that that's listening. If you are full of doing things busily, being here, there, and everywhere, you're not always listening to what the Holy Spirit tells you. And as ministers, I'm sure I could tell you it's the same. We go at 90 miles an hour, and sometimes we forget. Yes, we've got a sermon to write, we've got a service to do, we've got to be here, we've got to be there, we've got to be everywhere. But we forget the Holy Spirit's leading us, that why we get so much chaos. See, and if we're not listening, we can certainly find ourselves on a totally different path to what God has for us. And some of us have actually done that. Some of us have actually been so busy that when God said stop, we haven't. We've gone straight. We've carried on. And then we find a brick wall. And still of saying stop, we still go either round it, through it, over it, because we're not listening. Yet how do we know it's the Holy Spirit talking to us? How do you know it's the Holy Spirit talking to you? Now this can be very hard for us to understand, because sometimes we think it's our own thoughts. We think it's our own thoughts that are speaking. And then we start to ask the questions and tie ourselves up in knots as to whether God is speaking or not. Have you ever been? I have, several times. Where I've thought that God has said me to do this. And I've hit a brick wall. I certainly know that I've got to stop. Because if I don't stop and I carry on, then God is going to stop me. And most of the ways he stops me is through my health. One of the things that I was taught as a young Christian was to test what you hear. Test hearing by prayer, talking to others that you trust, looking up scripture in the Bible, because the Holy Spirit's voice will never contradict scripture. And it will particularly come with inner conviction and accompanying sense of peace where you align with God's will. You'll often receive confirmation through the scriptures, circumstances, godly counsel, spiritual fruit. At Pinchbeck, we're doing the spiritual fruit at the moment, but instead of going from love, peace, patience, and so on, we're going from the bottom. First one, self-control. How many of you have self-control? Put your hands up. Oh, how many of you think you've got self-control? Yeah. But when your self-control is sorely tested, you know that you haven't got self-control. The control that you have is God's love for you, God's spirit for you. Learning to distinguish the spirit's voice takes practice. It takes prayer and testing what you hear against the truth of the word of God. Because the word of God is always true. Think about this for a moment. Have you ever been praying or reading your Bible or your daily notes or whatever you do, and something just stands out? Like it's written in bold, capital letters, huge. And you go, nah, I just don't want to read that bit, I want to read this bit. How many times have you missed that? God is speaking. God is wanting to say something to you by the Holy Spirit. One thing to do if you cannot remember where it is, what it is, how it is, because it's just flashed up, write it down. Write the reading down, write the passage down, highlight it in your Bible. If you see one of my old Bibles, it's full of highlights. And I've had to use different highlight coloured pen so that I know which one I'm looking at. God wants to get through to you something. And if he does it by a small voice, if he does it by a reading, he is trying to say to you, stop and listen. Always remember, though, that you have to keep praying. Lord, what are you showing me through this? What do I need to know? Which word do I need to know? How do I move forward with this? And you may not get that answer there and then. It might be something for your future. It might be something that takes you to a totally different path to what you wanted to go in. You see, the Bible is living and active. And the Spirit uses it to correct us, to teach us, to encourage us. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, use the power of God's word in discerning your thoughts and intentions. Sometimes the Spirit gives you a distinct inner prompting to act. Maybe to call someone, maybe to sow a seed, to apologize, or to go somewhere. And these are often accompanied by clarity that this action serves others or honours God. How many of you have felt, oh, I must pick up the phone, I must ring somebody? Did you do it? I can see some nods. Awake this morning. Good. You see, these impressions can be small, but they can be quite important. In fact, they can be very important. Because when you are listening to God telling you to do something, two, you are actually doing it, whatever it is, and three, the power of God, whatever it is, will come through you. The Spirit's nudges typically lead to obedience. Because believe you me, if the Spirit says something to you and you don't do it, He will take it to somebody else to do. Like in prayer. When Angela was first, I will use you if you don't mind. When Angela and I were first, come here a long time ago, Angela didn't like to pray out loud. It would be, you'd get occasional, but God would always give her something to pray, but she wouldn't pray it. So God gave it to somebody else, and then she'd go, ditto. And then she'd say, well, God told me to say that, but I didn't want to. And over the years, though, she's learned that when God does say something to her, to do it. Because that you're the person that He wants to do it. You're the person that He needs, that He's calling to do whatever it is He's calling you to do. He doesn't call everyone to be pastors. Paul tells us that and throughout the whole of the New Testament. He doesn't call everyone to be preachers. He doesn't call everyone to, good. But what He does call you all to do is to do what God tells you. When I first thought I was going to Pinchbeck, I was in the car after, because I'd been there to preach, and I said to Mark, I'm going there to be their minister. You should have seen Mark's face. It dropped. I'm not moving, was his words. I'm not going. You can go if you want to, but I'm not. So I went, okay, if that's where God's calling me, that's where I'm going. You're here. And believe me, for a while he did. He did. He supported me. I'm not saying he didn't support me, because he did. But he stayed here. And I went to Pinchbeck. And I've been there now nearly 5 years, which is a long time. But sometimes when God calls, you have to go. Many people look at the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and control. They look at them and think they're not for me. Because they don't realize what the love of God has for them through the Holy Spirit. I said to my church at one time, who do you think takes your prayers to God? Holy Spirit. He's part of Trinity. You see, many people expect something dramatical or mystical when the Holy Spirit speaks. But in everyday Christian life, His guidance is often quiet and peaceful and steady rather than loud. You see, the Holy Spirit's voice commonly feels like a calm conviction that stays with you. Peace about taking a certain step. Clarity that aligns with Scripture. A loving correction that draws you closer to God. A prompting to encourage, to pray, forgive or obey. A growing awareness of something that is spiritually important for you to learn. But by contrast, fear-driven thoughts are usually chaotic. They're usually condemning, confusing, they're pressurizing, they're emotionally unstable. But the Holy Spirit brings conviction, not condemnation. None of us stand, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, stand in conviction. We all stand Christ crucified, loved by him. You see, and that distinction matters deeply because although God's voice may challenge you, it does not crush you. And it does not crush you with hopelessness or panic. You might think, Lord, where am I going? What am I doing? How am I doing this? You might try to put blocks in the way. But if this is what God's will is for you, believe me, you will do it. I can tell you that from experience. You see, however, hearing the Holy Spirit speak is one thing, but trusting and obeying his voice is another. The Holy Spirit will lead us in directions that challenge us, stretches us, requires us to step out of our comfort zone. We all like comfort zones, don't we? We all like what we feel good with. And we can wrap ourselves in that nice comfort blanket and think, I can walk from here to there and nothing can touch me. But sometimes that blanket has to come off. Even if it's just a chink. And if that little chink open, poof, he's in there. You see, it's in these moments that we must either choose to trust his voice and obey. Even when it doesn't make sense. That's the difficulty, isn't it? Because sometimes God says you to do something, but it don't make sense. In your human side, it tells you that you're not going in the right direction. You're not doing to you. But in your spiritual side, you know that that's what God wants you to do. So inside you, you have got a fight going on. A real fight. Which way do I go? And sometimes we do go the wrong way. We must choose to trust. Think about the story of Peter in Acts 10. Peter was praying on the top when the Holy Spirit gave him a vision, instructed him to go to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. Now, this was a radical command for Peter. Peter was a Jew. Cornelius was a Gentile. Peter had grown up with Jewish customs that forbade him to even associate with the Gentiles. So put yourselves in Peter's place. You've been told to go and speak to a Gentile by the Holy Spirit. Your upbringing, your doctrine, the things that you've learnt in life is telling you you can't. So you've got an argument there going already. What do you do? Do you trust the Holy Spirit? Or do you trust what you've been? Peter trusted the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit made it clear that Peter was to go. And Peter chose to trust and obey. Even though it went against everything that he'd been taught. He went. And because of Peter's obedience, the gospel was opened up to us. Because we're not Jews. We are Gentiles. And the early church experienced a powerful move of the Holy Spirit among the people who had previously been excluded. Peter's willingness to trust and obey the Spirit's voice led to a breakthrough that changed the course of church history. In our own lives, the Holy Spirit may call us to take steps of faith that seem risky, that seem uncomfortable, and even illogical. He may lead us to forgive someone who has hurt us. Oh, that's a biggie. To leave a job that feels secure. Or even to step into a ministry that we feel unqualified for. In those moments, we have a choice. Will we trust the Spirit's leading, or will we rely on our own understanding? That is your choice. No one can make that choice for you. It's your choice. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 remind us, says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go, because he is the one that will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. I like that bit. Don't assume that you know it all. Trusting the Holy Spirit means letting go of our own need for control. And allowing him to direct our paths. Now, I know that that is not easy. Because we do like control. We like control of everything we do. Because that's the way we're taught from being that high. But we give up that control when we love God. It means stepping out in faith, even when we don't have all the answers. Knowing that the Spirit sees the bigger picture. You see, in our lives, we're just this little bit picture. Just that bit. There's a whole world out there. There's a whole universe out there. But we can only see this bit because God hasn't revealed this to us yet. The Bible tells us what's going to happen. But he hasn't shown us. So we don't see the bigger picture. And obedience to the Holy Spirit is often the key to unlocking God's promises in our lives. When we respond to the Spirit's voice, we position ourselves for breakthrough, blessing, for fruitfulness. But one thing that you and I should never forget, obedience requires humility. It's very difficult standing up here sometimes preaching because everything that you're preaching is coming straight back at you. So while I'm talking to you, I'm looking, thinking, do I do that? And do I do that? And then sometimes, no, I don't. And then it's time for me to ask for forgiveness. It's time for me to turn around to God and say, I humble myself before you. Because I've laid aside who you are. It requires us to surrender our will to God's will and to trust that his ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 5:9 tells us, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Holy Spirit knows what is best for us, and when we obey him, we are putting ourselves totally in line with God's perfect plan. But all of this boils down to how much faith do we have? Because as Hebrews 11 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God. And without faith we will struggle to respond to the Holy Spirit's leading. But when we get a heart of faith, when we open ourselves up to the miraculous, we position ourselves to see God moves in ways we never thought possible. Faith is not just about believing in God's existence. It's about trusting in his character, his wisdom, his timing. Faith takes action based on what we hear from the Holy Spirit when we can't see the bigger picture. And as we hear the Spirit speak, faith grows. And as our faith grows, we become more confident in responding to his voice. And the more we trust and obey the Spirit, the more we experience his power. The more we experience God's provision and his presence in our daily lives. Today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to each one of us. He's calling us into a deeper intimacy, greater trust, and bolder steps of faith. But the question comes back to what it was in the beginning. Are we listening? Are we recognizing his voice? Are we tuning in through prayer and fasting? Are we responding to him in faith? Because if you've been struggling to hear the Holy Spirit, if the distractions of life have made it difficult for you to discern his voice, now is the time for you to refocus, to sit before God and give him your heart and mind. The Spirit is speaking, but we need to be in a position to listen. Otherwise, we will miss what God is telling us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us to hear your voice. Give us clarity when we're unsure and humility when we're wrong. Teach us to test all things against your word. To seek people, Lord, that will help us through the hard times. And to obey in faith. Fill us with your peace. And lead us into what you have for us by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.